Blog Talk Radio.
Processing the Pain with yours truly, Coach D. I want to welcome you in the studio on tonight. Thank you for joining us. We are so glad that you are here. I am going to get straight into the word on tonight, and I will not tarry or delay. I am going to get right to scripture, and we're going to be reading tonight from 1 Corinthians. We're going to be reading tonight from 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And I'm just trusting and believing that God has a purpose and a plan for this message on tonight, that he will guide and navigate me through this message. I know that the message had to do with the promises of God. And there's a motto for the basis of the Processing the Pain, whether it's the broadcast or it's the book. But basically, the idea is processing the pain, pursue purpose, and partake in God's promises. And I might have mentioned that briefly last week. But that's the concept. And that, I believe, leads to our healthy Christian walk, our healthy walk in this journey. And even though that's the way it goes, process the pain, pursue purpose, and partake in God's promises, tonight I think I'm going to start from the back and move forward, because I was just thinking, you know, many of us believers who, you know the word of God and we're standing in faith according to the word of God, we're not experiencing God's promises, or we don't believe we're experiencing God's promises. And so God shared with me years ago is that it's hard to experience God's promises if you are not pursuing purpose. And I know we think of purpose as a thing, you know, oh, my purpose was to be a mother, or my purpose was to be a doctor, or my purpose is to minister, whatever that, that's the way we normally look at purpose. But he gave me another way of looking at it. He said, he gave me a way of looking at it is that we got one purpose on this earth as believers. And that purpose is to fill the Great Commission. That purpose is to share the gospel. That purpose is to win souls for Christ. That's our main purpose. So if that's our main purpose, the core and the center is Jesus. So Jesus is the purpose. He's the purpose that we're pursuing. And we pursue him through you know, his word, through prayer, through fasting. That's how we pursue him, you know, in order to build a relationship with him. So, again, if we're not pursuing Jesus, then we're not living life, and we're not living life abundantly. That means that we are not partaking in the promises of God and all the promises he has for us. You know, his promise is that all of our needs will be met. His promise is for us to be in good health. His promises for our soul to prosper. I mean, these are promises of God. And so we don't partake in those when we're not pursuing the purpose, and the purpose being Jesus. But let me take it a step further. Let's go all the way back to processing the pain. Processing the pain is a key element, because many of us are not pursuing the purpose, or we're not pursuing the purpose consistently, thus not partaking in the promises, simply because we have not dealt with the pains of this life. And it does come with pain. We haven't processed through the pain. Thus we're holding on to old anger, we're holding on to old bitterness, we're holding on to unforgiveness because this person did this to me, and I'll never forgive this person. I don't want to deal with this person. I don't want to be around this person. And we haven't processed through that. I'm going to tell you something. When we don't process through those childhood traumas, and some traumas, you know, some of us had as little children, teenagers, adults, some of us still going through different pains in life. But when we don't process through those, it makes it very hard. If you're in a lot of pain, your focus is not pursuing purpose. Your focus is not partaking in the promises of God. You can't. Because I don't know about you, if you ever been in a whole lot of pain, you can't focus on nothing but that pain. Amen? And so that's why it's important for us to be able to be still before God. Stop. Sometimes don't pray. You know, the word of God says pray without ceasing. I get that. But sometimes, you know, another form of prayer is just sitting still, sitting quietly in the presence of God, and just allowing his presence to speak, allowing his presence to minister to you, allowing his presence to show you things, you know, show you your own heart, show you your own demons, because many of us are fighting our own demons. And a lot of those demons are strongholds. They're generational. Some of them are generational. You know, things, like I said again, we might be dealing with stuff that our great-great-great-grandma, our great-great-great-great-great-grandpa went through, that they were dealing with. Some of them might have been into things unbeknownst to us. They could have been functioning and operating in witchcraft and all deviation, all kind of stuff, unbeknownst to us. And so we're dealing with known and unknown things. And that's why it's important for us to have a relationship, you know, a vertical relationship. It's important for us to be in commune with God. It's important because it's going to be him that's going to reveal those things to us. And sometimes we just going through life and we don't, you know, going through life. And I was having this conversation with my first cousin the other day, and, you know, we were talking, and I was like, man, I could get so angry. I would get so angry, And I couldn't understand why, ooh, how I could get so angry. You know, I love God. I love God. And I say yes to God. And I want to serve God. And I want to be in the will of God. And then there's times in my life where I just trip and fall face down. Amen? And I don't understand why or how, because the Word of God says blessings and curses can't come out the same mouth. You can't be, you know, it's the Word of God is true and everything else is a lie. So to comfort you, not to make excuses, but if you're not processing through that childhood trauma, and many are not processing through because they don't know it exists. They don't know why they're angry. They don't know why they lie. They don't know why they cheat. They don't know these, you know, they're doing it, and it's natural for us to say, you grown, you know what you're doing. But guess what? Some people are unconscious. They're oblivious to why they do the things they do. They know they do it. They know it ain't right. And they're constantly making promises to themselves and others. I won't do that no more. I ain't going to do that no more. Forgive me. I'm sorry. I won't do it again. And then they turn around and do it again. We know the brother Paul tells us about he do those things that he don't want to do, and what he don't want to do, he do anyway. We know that scripture. Everybody know that scripture good. He's saying he's doing these things he don't want to do. And many of us are doing things we don't want to do, or we'll be somewhere and that thing will pop up. It'll pop up. But you know, God is so faithful, and he wants his children whole. He wants his children whole. He wants us living an abundant life. He wants us partaking in the promises. He wants us pursuing purpose. He wants us processing through pain. Because guess what? All the pain that we hold on and that we don't process is guaranteed. One thing is guaranteed, that we're going to experience some more pain. As long as we're in this body, we're going to experience pain. And can you imagine if you didn't learn how to process through the pains of your past, and then you still got pains that's coming? That's a whole lot of pain. Now you can see why people's drug addicts and alcoholics and have sexual addictions, because people, the human, the sinful nature, the sinful body just won't relief. It won't with everyone. I don't want to have to think about the pain. I don't want to have to think about the hurt of my past. I don't want to have to think about, so what do I do to not think about? I go unconscious. How do I go unconscious without getting just knocked out? I go unconscious through alcohol. I go unconscious, and I'm using the eye, but I don't. I go unconscious through drugs. I go unconscious through promiscuity. I go unconscious to all these things, and those things numb me. They're a temporary fix for this permanent pain that I have not learned how to process through. And the thing about it is that in order for me to process through it, in order for me to heal from it, guess what? I need something that's in me, but not of me, but greater than me. And that's God. That's what I need. He's going to be the only one that's going to get us processed through these life pains, because then we begin to understand how this pain thing works. We begin to understand what's the purpose in it. We'll begin to understand that there is a purpose. Or there's a process through the pain. There's something that we needed from that. There's something we're supposed to learn. There's something that we're supposed to grow from. So we got to start facing it head on, and we got to deal with it, because if we don't deal with it, it's going to make this journey, it's going to make this walk. We're going to learn tonight why we got to deal with it. Moses needed to deal with, he didn't process through some pain. As a result, God still used him. God still used him mightily. But he never entered into the promised land. And God tells us, let's get into the word. I'm excited. Get your pens and papers so that you can take note. I'm excited about tonight, because tonight I believe it should be eye-opening to us as believers. It should, the light bulb should come on. it should come on, and we could understand. Because sometimes we be reading scripture and we be reading the word of God. And if you read the word of God without the spirit of God, it's just letters. And it's just like wah, 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 wah. But when you begin to read it with the Holy Spirit, and he begins to reveal his word to you, now it's not just letters. You're getting a picture. You're getting a perception of what he's saying. So tonight, let's just believe. We're going to ask God. We're inviting him into the studio on tonight. We're going to ask God to give us 2020 vision, spiritual vision, so that we can see what it is that he's saying. We're going to ask God to open up our ear gates so we can hear with our spirits, see with our spirits what thus saith the Lord. What is he saying to us on tonight's message? What is that thing that he needs us to know? What do he need us to get tonight? We need some deliverance. We need to be set free. We're dealing with strongholds, things that just got a grip on you, and you try to shake them, and you're shaking them, and they ain't going nowhere, but they keep you tripped up. Amen? We're going to deal with those things tonight. We're going to believe God that his very presence, the anointing of God, which is his very presence, that it will be here in this studio on tonight. Father, that you would touch the heart of your people. Father, that you will open up eyes, that you will open up ears, Father. Father God, that we could see and hear what thus saith the Lord. Father God, that it will penetrate and that it will begin to transform us by the renewing of our mind so that we don't have to continue to be conformed to this world of sin, to this body of sin, that we don't have to continue to get tripped up. But we can start shedding some of this skin that was not meant to be permanent. Amen? So let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I'm going to read, and I'm reading from the King James Version on tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9, I'm going to start off with. Know ye not that the unrighteous do not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor infamous, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners, shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Meat for the belly and the belly for meat. But God shall destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God hath both raised up the Lord and will also rise up us by his own power. Know ye not that your bodies are the member of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of a harlot? God forbid. What know ye not that he which is joined to a harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that committeth fornication sins against his own body. What know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Father, we just thank you. Thank you for this word, Lord, and we thank you for the revelation of your of this word that will go forth on tonight. Father God, lead, guide, and direct me as I begin to speak your word, Father God, that it's no longer I that live, but Christ that lives inside of me. Have your way, Father God, in Jesus' name. Amen. So we just read from 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 9 through 20. This is a very familiar piece of scripture for most of us who, you know, who or have been walking this walk for a minute. It's telling us who will inherit the kingdom of God. And I would, and I think that when I was early on in believer stuff, all that reading that scared me. It scared me because I didn't even understand kingdom. I didn't understand kingdom, and I just knew that man, basically, he's saying sinners was not going to inherit the kingdom of God. And, you know, I'm sure some of this stuff that he lists, I might have viewed myself as being, you know, one or two or three of those things. So that scripture, I would read it, and my stomach would just get bubbly, like, oh, my God, I'm not going to make it to heaven. That was my thought. But tonight, if I can, I'm going to bring this to you in a different way because you know, because I want us to understand kingdom. And I believe what God is showing me. Now, this is what I believe God is showing me. We read the word. You're going to have to get revelation for the word, your revelation for the word. I'm gonna give you what I believe my revelation for the word is as I read this word on tonight and as I was studying to bring this message tonight is that I'm going to liken kingdom, and I'm going to be using them interchangeably tonight. I'm going to liken kingdom like the promised land. And so I'm going to break this down to give a perception so we could better understand, you know, when God is talking about the kingdom. Because I believe we have been taught, and there's this preconceived idea as believers, you know, that we're so busy here on earth trying to just get to heaven. We just want to get to heaven that we're missing a big part. We're missing the kingdom. We're missing the kingdom of God. We're missing what our purpose in this, you know, the dominion that we have in this earth. We're missing that. And tonight I'm hoping that we'll get it, that we'll understand that we'll understand these how we're supposed to be operating. We're supposed to be operating as kingdom citizens, and we're not supposed to just merely be existing. We're not supposed to be sitting up in our house scared to death to go anywhere, to do anything, whatever, because we're scared to death. We don't know. Oh, that's a sin. Ooh, them people sinful. Ooh, this. And then you'll find a lot of Christians that just sitting in their house. They sitting in their house getting fat. They sitting in their house depressed. They sitting in their house, I mean, because they just scared. They've been, you know, and they don't even understand that that's not godly living. Just because you ain't doing what you perceive as sin doesn't mean that what you're doing is godly living. Amen? So tonight I think God wants us to be set free. Because he said he's given us life, and he's given us life abundantly. We're supposed to be living abundant life. We're supposed to be the lender and not the borrower. We can't be lenders sitting in our house scared. Amen? And sitting in our house, and I'm saying that symbolically because it could be a house, a physical house, but your house could be that building that you sit in on Sundays and Wednesdays. You know, your house could be a physical house, apartment, whatever. But that's not necessarily godly living. And so we want to be living victoriously. We want to be living this kingdom life because we want to inherit the kingdom of God because that inheritance was left for us as the children of God. Let's understand what inherit means. First of all, we got to understand that inherit could best be defined as receiving or being left with something from a predecessor or a previous owner. So when I leave here and I leave some things behind for my children or my grandchildren, they inherit what I'm leaving behind. Amen. So when Jesus left here, we inherited. Once we accepted him, once we accepted that this adoption, then we inherit, there are certain things that we inherit as kingdom citizens. And one of the things is that we inherit the kingdom of God. However, this is what I'm going to liken this unto. If I am, let's just say I set up a living trust, and the living trust gives specific instructions on how you want these things you leave it behind, a will, a living will or a trust. It gives instructions. It says, I want X, Y, Z to be handled like this, and I want it to go like this. And if you got younger children or you got irresponsible children, you might set it up in a way where they won't just get $100,000. You might set it up in a way where, guess what, on their 18th birthday, they're going to get $20,000. Then they might not get another $20,000 until their 25th birthday. You know, you might set it up in increments, but you could do that in a trust or a living will, right? And I believe that the kingdom of God kind of works the same way, because we see here in 1 Corinthians what God is telling us is that these are the people that's not going to inherit it. And it didn't say it wasn't his children. It didn't say that you're not his child. But he's saying these are the people that's not going to inherit it. In other words, if you're not walking in obedience, if you're not doing the will of your Father, if you are out there, if you out there sleeping around with everybody, if you ain't their husband and they ain't your wife, if you out there drugging it up and drunking it up, if you out there lying, stealing, and cheating, if you out there idolizing crystals and the sun and the moon and the stars and the zodiac signs, if you out here doing all these different things, he tell you, look, you're not going to inherit the kingdom. What's the kingdom? The kingdom is here. The kingdom of God is at hand. It's here. And what we're supposed to do is step into it. We're supposed to step into it. God's gift to us, his children, the believers. Because there's people that believe that still ain't doing right. But they believe. They believe that Jesus is the Son of God. But then we, you know, and they ain't doing right. And I used to say, well, my God, you know, because the word of God tells us in 1 John, I think it's 1:5-12 or something like that. But it's saying, hey, you lying to yourself. If you say that, you know, let's go over there to there. Let's do that real quick. Woo, thank you, Jesus. Let's go over to 1 John, not the gospel. We're going over to the epistle of John, and we're going to go to the 1 John. I want to see exactly, I think it's 1 John 1:5-12, maybe 1:5-12. Let's see here. Oh, and I learned something last night that was good about the word incarnation. Incarnation, when you break that word down, carne is Spanish for meat. So the flesh nation, the meat of it all. But anyway, let's go over here. I'm just going to read this real quick since he brought this up, the Holy Spirit. Okay, so 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, it says, this is the message, and I'm reading this from the NIV because that's what came up. This is the message we have heard from him and declared to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in light as he is the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. If, and we know that, you know that if word is saying if, it's a conditionary. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, We make him out to be a liar. Maybe I didn't go to the right thing. Maybe it's 1 John 5. Wait, let me just try one more thing, and I'm not going to hold this up. I ain't going to get off track. That's not quite the one. That's good, too, but that's not quite the one I was thinking. First, I can't stand when that happens. But anyway, we're going to get back on track. And it's going to come to my mind. It's going to come to my mind, the scripture that I'm thinking of. But so anyway, let's get back. So anyway, going back to First Corinthians, and we were talking about so we were talking about inherit, and we were understanding that we inherit the kingdom from God. We also was talking about trust and wills and how those get specific instructions. And so I was believing that this kingdom thing is the same way that God did that for us. And he was telling us who was not going to inherit the kingdom of God, right? And I was saying that that doesn't mean that these people weren't necessarily believers, and that's what got us off. That's what got me off track. So I was saying that these are, you know, we think about Moses, perfect example. Moses didn't enter into the promised land because Moses had some issues. He had some issues that God had been dealing with him on, and he was still going through these issues. So he didn't inherit the promise. But I believe with everything that's in me that Moses was a child of God. Amen? But he didn't get a chance to just experience the abundance of what the promise. The land flowing with milk and honey. This thing that he'd been waiting on for 40 years. You know, this thing, this promise. And some of us been waiting on promises. God's gift to man is authority. He gave us the authority, dominion, and power here on the earth. We ain't supposed to just wait until we get to heaven. We ain't supposed to just barely get by, just barely enough for us to make it into heaven. He wants us to live heaven here on earth. He wants us to take dominion. He wants us to have authority and power on here on earth. When we, the people of God, take up our calling, when we, you know, when we know what his gift that he's given us, when we understand our gifts and what our gifts have been called for, what our position is, what is our job, what is your job in the kingdom? All of us have jobs. We have positions. We have callings that we're supposed to be functioning in. He's left us with talent. Amen. He's left us with talent. And he's given us every scripture. He's given us every parable. He's given us every resource in his word for us to be able to function. You know, and he even warns us over and over again in his word. When you think about this, see, we got to start seeing things from a spiritual vision. We can't see the logos. Because you see the logos, you're thinking about three men where this man left talent. So all you can see is three men. This rich man left one and left 1 5 and left 1 10. And then he left. He traveled. When he came back, one had hustled and doubled his. The other one doubled his. And then the gist of it was the scared man didn't do nothing with his, and he just sat on it. You know what I'm saying? So that, you can hear the basis of that story, but man, if you really sink your teeth into that story and you just begin to meditate and really in prayer, and you can see different, you know, you can begin to see that different. What is the talent that God's left you? What is that thing that he left you that you ain't doing nothing with, that you're just sitting on? And when he comes back, what is he going to ask you? Is he going to say, good job, my faithful, you know, well done, my good and faithful servant? Or is he going to ask you, what you do with your talent? What did you do with your assignment? We're all on assignment. We're all on kingdom assignment as believers. We have to understand what our calling is. We have to be in our right position to speak the word and the will of God into existence. We're supposed to be speaking. He made us in his image. He said, in Genesis 1, he said, you know, he began to talk about how he spoke it into existence. He spoke, it existed, and it was good. And we're supposed to be, we're supposed to be doing the same thing. So we're supposed to be literally know our call, stand in our rightful position to speak the word and the will of God into existence. Literally changing our lives, environments, and situations. God no longer has to call things on earth into existence, because guess what? That's what he got us for. That was Adam's assignment. Adam named everything. That was his assignment. Adam was supposed to have dominion of the earth, the birds in the air, the fish in the sea, everything that had breath, Adam was supposed to have dominion over. But we don't even have dominion. We're scared of everything. We're scared of everything, the humans. Then he said, see, I don't have to call this no more. Man could do this. He's equipped us. He's equipped us with dominion and authority. So when we could begin to take heed to his word, understanding his word, not by the letter, but by the spirit. It's the spirit of God's word that gives us the revelation truth. So we don't no longer think, let me give you a perfect example because I want you to see it. Revelation, the revelation truth of God's word, it doesn't speak of what Jesus did. It speaks of what Jesus do. In other words, when I see the lady, when it says, and she touched the hem of his garment. And then when you see that, what do you think? Do you just see this old, feeble lady coming up trying to touch the hem of his garment? Or do you see this, lady pushing her way through because it was something he had that she needed? And do you see when she touched his garment, did you see the glory of Jesus come over? Did you see the healing? Did you see the deliverance? Did you see the getting set free? Or has it just become another Bible story with no power? See, God's word is power. It's power. And it doesn't matter how many times it's been translated. It don't matter because it left out this or that. Because it doesn't matter to us as children of God, because the Spirit of God lives inside of us. The Spirit of God is what gives us the revelation of that word. Amen. It gives us the revelation about that word. So we're still equipped with dominion and authority. We get the revelation truth and make it our faith confession. Our faith confession is when things get hard and I feel like I can't do them, Lord Jesus. And I feel like I can't do it, instead of just saying, oh, I'm just tired. I don't want to do this no more. You can say, I can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens me. You see what I'm saying? We can speak his word. It becomes our faith confession. And then with that, then we begin with our faith confession to see the promises of God come into existence in our lives. How many of us can honestly say that there were things that we confessed with our mouths, and now we're looking and we see, you know, or how many of you, I don't know if you all do, but I have notes and stickies and lists. I have a list that I did back in 2017, and I was cleaning off my desk, and I was just looking at that list the other day, and I thought, wow, I could check it off. A lot of this stuff is done. A lot of this stuff exists. And it's not just a material thing. It's not just a material thing. Because guess what? It's just as important to have peace as it is to have bread. You know, we know bread, you know, when you think about bread, I'm talking about the bread you eat. You think about something that's a need for your body, but you think about something that costs you. But guess what? Peace costs too. And it's just as important to have peace. And it's not, you know, materialized, but it's something that you could embrace. Many people right now, a rich man wish he could buy peace. You know, he wish he could go out and spend $1 million and just have peace. Amen? So we can speak God's promises, and this is what that third portion of this whole process the pain, pursue purpose, and partake in God's promises. That's the third part, partaking in God's promises. But in order to do that, there are some preliminary things that have to be done for us to be able to do that. And I spoke about that earlier. We have to be able to process through the pain. As long as we're in pain, again, we're gonna keep on getting tripped up. We're gonna keep on going through stuff. We're gonna keep returning to the vomit because we're not looking at the core of why we do what we do. And when you start looking at the core of why you do what you do, then you could begin to get delivered from some stuff. When you got kids that's raising kids, and then all this turmoil, and the first thing people want to do is, you 40 years old and you still mad at your mama, you still mad at your daddy, you know, you still blaming them for your bad behavior at 40-something. You have got bad behavior because you want to have bad behavior. Because why? Because you don't want to deal with the pain. And you don't want to be able to deal with the pain, because if you sat down and began to deal with the pain and you begin to process the pain, what you will realize is that when your mama made the decision to choke you out, she was a 17-year-old young girl, or when your daddy cheated on your mama and went and got somebody else pregnant, and now your half sibling is the same age and you still mad at your daddy, you ain't considering the fact that your daddy was only 17 years old. He was making adult decisions with a little boy mind. But you still trying to hold him accountable that he was a rolling stone and he wasn't around you and he didn't raise you and he didn't sow into you. But you're not mature enough and you haven't desired to process your pain enough to free him. What do you mean, Coach D, free him? Free him. Let him go. Let him go. How do you let him go? Forgive him. So now he can process through his life pain. But not only that, because forgiving is for you. That's part of your process, to be able to forgive, to be able to understand that, guess what? And I tell my kids today, I raised you the way I was raised. I didn't see anything wrong with the way I was raised. I feel like I'm a decent person. But I understand now that maybe the way I was raised, maybe the way I was disciplined was not a great way. I understand that now. Didn't understand it then. So we do unto others oftentimes what's done unto us. There's a saying for the world, and it says, hurt people, hurt people. That's such a true statement. People that hurt other people. And I don't believe that it's intentional. It's just that when you got that unprocessed pain, you're going to project it on somebody else. You often hear people say, man, you're bleeding on people that didn't even cut you. And that's true. Pain is such an uneasy thing. It's such an uncomfortable thing. It's such a heavy burden to have to be carrying around. But the bigger thing is it makes it hard for our relationship with Christ. It makes it hard for us to submit to him. Because if you got trust issues, guess what? You're going to have a hard time submitting. But you got to understand that in order to work through it. You got to understand, well, yeah, I didn't have a good relationship with my earthly father. So if you didn't have a good relationship with your earthly father, it may make it kind of difficult for you to have a good relationship with your heavenly father. Why? Because when Eve partaked in that tree, in that garden, her and Adam, the spirit of comparison entered the earth. Spirit of comparison. So when that spirit entered the earth, guess what? We do the same thing now with God. Adam did it. When he grabbed the fig leaves and God was looking for him, he did it. He hid and he said, what you doing? Man, what you doing? We know we kicked it. We ain't never had a problem. All of a sudden, you hiding? And he was like, well, yeah, you know, I don't want you to see me naked. Who told you you was naked? The spirit of comparison. We do it. It came in the earth then, and guess what? Here it is. Thousands of years later, and we still compare. And so, if we didn't have a good relationship, and not all, but if you didn't have a good relationship with your earthly father, then it may make it a little difficult for you to have a good relationship with your heavenly father. Why? Because you're comparing. This man didn't do right by me. This man was no good. This man never kept his word. So what would make you believe that this heavenly father, you know, you're going to have a hard time believing. You're going to have a hard time trusting until you understand that he's not in the sinful nature. Amen? That he's not in the sinful nature, and then you could begin to move on. But again, that's the importance of being able to process through the pains of life so that we could pursue. Because when you start processing, and part of the pursuing, it intertwines with the processing. Because as you begin to process, you begin to realize that, man, I need something greater than me. Because most of us could tell a testimony, and I'm not going to say everybody's testimony is the same, but I believe a lot of us could say we were in a dark time of our soul when we found Jesus. Some of us was, you know, in a dark time of our soul. We were somewhere, maybe whatever you was doing, whatever you was going through when you had that God encounter that led you to Christ. And then as you begin to pursue him, he began to help you to process through those pains. He helps you. It's through him. It's needed. It's through him. And it said we're understanding now kingdom and promised land. Kingdom and promised land, I believe, they're interchangeable. We know that now that it's symbolic for a spiritual. It's more spiritual than it is natural. It is said that Christ meant to equate the promised land with the earthly arrival of the kingdom of heaven. There is a strong correlation of land with kingdom language in the New Testament. So I believe they're used interchangeably. Land, from a biblical standpoint, land is symbolic. It was a place where God could dwell with humans. So when he created land, when he thought about the land and the things that he was creating, it would have been like when we think about the garden. We just talking about that. You know, him and Adam, they fellowshiped, you know, and so God seen this where it was going to be a place where he could dwell with us, a place where God's face and human face, you know, came together, a place of fellowship. We walked, you know, if this before sin, we were to walk with God. We were to experience the gracious gift in ruling over creation with him, meaning this was, we would have been ruling over creation with God. He gave us the dominion and authority to be ruling over. We wouldn't have to be dealing with all the other nonsense. We wouldn't have to be dealing with all this pain. See, pain came in after the sin. Pain came in. When he says, you know, this is what you're going to be doing. You know, your desire, women, your desire for your husband, that was a curse. You desiring to be married, you desiring to have a husband, that was a curse. That wasn't the original plan. Amen? But anyway, so land was biblically was a place that we were supposed to be one. We were supposed to walk with. We were supposed to fellowship with God. And then furthermore, that, you know, as we get into the New Testament, what we're seeing is that land now represents, is symbolic for power, self-sufficiency, and legacy, much like it is today. Because many of us, we believe that part of the American dream is to own property, a home, land. You know, so, and that speaks, you know, for many people that speak, okay, you got something, you got, this is power, you own land. And many of us, we own land, and then we, our thought process is, if something happened to us, we leave this earth, then this is something, this is a legacy, this is something we leave in an inheritance to our children. So the promised land, when we think about it, because most of us have to envision, when we think about the promised land, we're thinking about, you know, we're envisioning, you know, Moses, you know, we're envisioning him not entering into the promised land, you know. And we know that it didn't really run with milk and honey, but we knew that it was a promise that God had made. It was supposed to be a good place. It was supposed to be productive. It was supposed to be somewhere that we had authority and dominion, you know, all of these kind of things. And the kingdom is the same way. The kingdom, the entering into the kingdom of God, it's a spiritual for us. It's a oneness with God. It's a oneness when you're entering the kingdom of God, when you're walking in as a kingdom citizen, you got power. You know that favor that I always talk about? You got favor. And he tells you, you know, you got abundance. But it's not just for self-gain, it's for kingdom purpose. So if you get an abundance, and it's only about how many houses you could buy and how many cars you could buy and what designer clothes you could buy, then you may got it wrong. Because the part of being a kingdom citizen is investing in building the kingdom. So if God is blessing you, you come to the kingdom mindset is saying, hey, this don't belong to me. So when he tells, when you pay your tithes and offering with it, when you do that, it's not about 10%. It's not about, this is about obedience. This is about obedience to God. Are you going to do what I told you to do? Are you vested? Are you vetted? Are you invested in the kingdom? Do you understand that none of this belongs to you, but to your Father that have cattle on 1,000 hills? It's his. And he's made you a steward over it. And he's expecting for you to be a good steward over what he's giving you. He's giving you a home. Awesome. Enjoy what he's given to you in that season, but realizing that it belongs to the kingdom. What you're getting belongs to the kingdom. I don't believe that God wants to give any of us anything that if he told you tomorrow to give it to somebody else, that you wouldn't want to do it. Come on now. How many of us? I mean, I'm guilty because I think about that. I think about, man, if God just told me to give my car to somebody, would I be obedient to do that? Or would I be so stuck in the logical part of it that, well, if I get my car, then what I'm going to do? But haven't God showed you over and over and over again what he'll do? So if he told you to do that, you're obedient? You're obedient? You know, we already see that with every great adversity is the equal greater reward. How many times have you been obedient to God and you see the reward of that obedience? I don't know. Tonight, you know, I hope that we can really begin to see ourselves as kingdom citizens. And as a kingdom citizen, that we know that there are conditions. There's things that we have to do. It's just like American citizen. Guess what? You've been an American citizen, which is here in the natural. There's certain things that proves that you're an American citizen. Started with a birth certificate. That's one way you prove you're an American citizen. It proves that you were born here in this country. That makes you a citizen. Part of being an American citizen, you know that if you commit a crime, you know you know that you're going to have to, you know, go to court. You know that you potentially, if found guilty, go to jail. You know there's rules that come with being an American citizen. If you're a young man, I don't know, maybe it gets to the point that ladies too, but, you know, it used to be a time if you as a young man, once you turn 18 as an American citizen, you had to be registered with the military. Even if you didn't go, you had to be registered. And if it was wartime, guess what? It was a fort, a draft, that you had to go fight for your country. That was part of the rules. So God's kingdom has rules. But the bigger thing I want you to get on tonight is this. Life is here in the now. Don't be so intent on, I just want to make it to heaven. I don't barely want to breathe. I don't want to breathe because I just want to stay like this. I want to stay preserved. I want to be mommy-fied. I want to just stay preserved. Jesus, just hurry up and come. I got my lamp. I got my oil, and I'm just going to sit here until you come. But let me tell you something about that oil. That oil costs. And you can sit there with that oil and just sit with that oil, and Jesus comes, and there's going to be some accountability. And so I ask you on tonight, when he comes and he began to ask you questions, are you going to be able to answer those questions? When he asked you what you did with the talents, what did you do with the gifts, what did you do with the calling, are you going to be able to, you know, are you going to be able to answer that? Are you going to be able to hear, well done? Or are you just going to say, well, Lord, I didn't sin. But guess what? Disobedience is still sin. And many of you, God has been pulling on you. He's been calling you. He's been pulling on you to do, to get, to go, to do what he's told you to do. And almost doing it, or kind of sort of doing it, is still not doing it. And that's part of sin. So we need to get back into being about our Father's business. We need to get back into the kingdom business. And know this, that we will suffer violence. There will be bumps in the road. We will get some earthquakes. We will get some strong winds. We will get some fires. Those things are going to happen. But they're not unto death. And when they happen, that don't mean we quit. Just like in the natural, if your car breaks, if you get a flat tire, you don't throw the whole car away. You fix the flat tire and keep it pushing. Just because the enemy is coming after you, just because he's shaking you, just because he's causing things to be difficult for you, it don't matter. Keep going. Keep going because you're on the best team. And those things will happen, but you're on the best team. You're a kingdom citizen. You're a kingdom citizen. You have inherited the promises of God. So walk in those promises. Live that abundant life. Get out. Enjoy life. All this stuff God created, the birds and the trees and the beauty and the water and the earth, all this stuff he created for us to be able to enjoy. For his glory. Live. Father God, we just thank you for your word on tonight. We thank you, Father God, that you've given us all this. You've given us dominion and authority and power over all of this, Father God. Lord, now cause us in the name of Jesus to be good stewards over that which you have given us, Father, that we will be good stewards, Father. Father God, that we will be kingdom-minded, that we will understand that none of this is ours, Father God, but that it's our Father's that's in heaven. And, Father God, for our access, for our use, Father, and we thank you for that. We thank you that we have favor with you, Father. And you said favor. We got favor with you, and we got favor with men. Father God, your word says that you land up the wealth of the wicked for the righteous. So, Father God, allow us to get in position, Father God, to receive for your kingdom, to get in position and receive for your glory, Father God. Father God, to fulfill the great commandment, Father. Lord, that we will know what you have called us to, that we will know what the gifts are, that we will know what our talents are, Father, because they're not ours to hold on to, but they're yours for your kingdom. So, Father God, cause us to line up according to your word, Father. Cause us to be vertically in alignment, to be used by you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I want to thank each and every one of you for tuning in tonight to this episode of Processing the Pain. Know that you are loved and appreciated, and we will see you next week, same time, same place. Good night.